The Monroe Zoning Board, Wednesday, September 26, 2018.
Open this meeting, hopefully people can all come. But we still have enough for a call. And ask the members if you have a few minutes last meeting, chance.
I did.
As I did, yeah, like it was a war and peace.
There was a lot of reading. I was thinking Chris was thinking what you were doing. Boy, that Kevin just doesn't shut up.
I was reading the discussion on the fact I wasn't here. Additions or corrections?
That's all.
Okay, with the motion to approve?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes from August meeting. Mm-hmm. August 29th meeting.
Second.
I'll wake up.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, same result from you. Okay, do we have anything, old business, anything?
Nope, and there was no correspondence on this one application meeting.
Okay, so we'll just do the first and only application. If you remember, A10, which is the request of Brian Park and Fort Terry Drive, South West Falls, New York, 12803, for an area variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 10, Section 149-59A and Town Law 267B. Applicant is requesting to construct a carport that will not meet the required front yard setback in an R1 one-family residential zoning district. This property is estimated as 50.62-1-2 on the town assessment map. And I take it you're Mr. Park?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you just tell us what you're doing? Tell us, describe it.
It's a metal carport. It's all New York State certified wall gauge. It's a vertical metal roof. There's no sides on it. It's just to protect my vehicles from the snow and the elements. I recently, a year ago, turned my garage into a living room with all the grandkids that I have, and still have company. And that was the only way I could expand, so I kind of got no place for my vehicles.
Okay. There's no correspondence on this?
No, we had no correspondence, and the notices did go out.
And so it's a prefab.
It's a prefab. It's from the gentleman up on Route 4, just past Old Manley's there on the right hand side.
Okay.
He's kind of like the middleman. These people come and install it. I'm purchasing it through him just so I have somebody local to deal with. It's not permanent. It doesn't go through the concrete or anything. It's going to straddle over my existing driveway, about a little bit above foot. And then it's just anchored into the ground. So, I mean, in the near future, it can be moved without totally taking it apart. And it's a nice one. I do have a picture if you'd like to see it.
And that last point, from a zoning perspective, that makes it a permanent structure, the anchoring. That does make it a permanent building. It is a roof supported by columns, so it is a building.
And it is anchored into the ground.
It's anchored into the ground, not into the concrete, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do
you have
to
picture that? I do. On my phone. The other thing that impacts this application is the orientation of the house is such that there's really not an opportunity to get to the side yards or into the backyard.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not cheap. No. And it's not the ones that, you know how they have the roofs that go the dome way, you know, where water and stuff doesn't come off.
No,
it's the vertical one. You know.
It's all metal.
It's all metal. There's no sides. You know, I've talked to the neighbors, and And I've shown the same picture I've showed you. And
they're fine.
And they're all fine.
And
80
feet from the road is not going to be a problem.
What's that?
8 is going to be only 8 feet from the road.
Actually, it's going to be like 22 feet from the road.
Okay.
Mm. From the edge of the road.
Well, but
it'll be back. But I don't know where my existing
line is.
Right. I don't, not sure where the line is.
You're talking 22 feet from the side of the blacktop. It'll be.
Right.
But
where
the,
yeah.
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably maybe 12 feet from the bit.
All I know is I think the house as I saw it came out to be exactly 30 feet right now, meeting the setback. The house does.
The house meets the 30 foot setback.
Correct.
So you're going to be down to about 8 feet.
Yeah. I know that what he's saying is a practical matter,
yeah,
may be true, but.
Right. I mean, I have a big tree and bushes and all, everything that's cultured.
So, I mean, in terms of the legalities of the lines, it is going to be 8 feet from the.
The line.
Like you're saying so, I guess. I don't know what it is.
Based on what you're seeing with that, where it's situated on the.
Correct. And again, I, you know, maybe it could be 34 feet. You know, I'm not saying it couldn't be, but that's what the numbers I'm finding, so that's what I went with.
For us to give you the setback, the relief that's legal, so that, you know, 10 years from now or 5 years from now, somebody doesn't say, well, that's what people would do, because it's the setback is whatever.
Right.
I didn't
want to just throw it up, so I wanted to, you know, make sure. And I really don't have any other.
Now, the other thing he further explained is he's putting this up over the existing paved driveway. Mm-hmm. So I think that affected the, you know, because I raised the, I mentioned the idea of an alternative, you know, location. Mm-hmm. But that would require additional pavement. If you were to orient this parallel to the house rather than perpendicular, you know, that kind of thing. Now, I did try and think of alternatives that would be less of a setback, but, and I don't know what it does to the vegetation in the yard where his trees are and things like that. It would require tree removal or.
No, nothing has to come down.
No, I mean, if you were to look at a different location.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there would be trees.
The driveway on the other side isn't practical for this?
It isn't. No. No, I also have to have access to get my septic pumped. And everything else, and be able to have access to work on my septic in the backyard. And I don't want to take that out.
That makes sense.
Trust me, because I thought about it. You know, I go, well, you know, I don't care where it goes on the covers of my vehicles. But that was the only thing that kept me from moving it over to the left side.
I have to say, it does concern that it's so close to the road. I mean, that is a.
And what is, what, if you don't mind me asking, what is a concern that's close to the road?
Well,
I have trees that are that close.
Yeah, I know. But this is
and
more
bushes.
A permanent structure than a tree. I mean,
lights.
I mean, it's just, and I hate to say we're setting precedent, but it's pretty close to the road. And the reason why they have 30 foot setbacks and 40 foot setbacks is because they don't want, you know, like you walk around the front of that area and you're right up on the road, you know what I mean? Or you pull out of there. And I guess maybe one of the things, if we consider this, we can consider it with stipulations, right?
Yes.
Because I think one of the things that concerns me is you're saying it's not closed in.
It's a four car drive.
No, I'm talking about the structure you're talking about. It's not going to be closed in, it's going to be open.
It's going to be all
open. If I was to consider this, I would want to have a stipulation that says it can't be closed in. Because.
Well, I don't want to close it in.
Right, but you might sell the house in 5 years or more.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
And the building could be there, and the next place you could say, geez, I'm going to close this in. And I wouldn't want to close it. I mean, I think that I'm inclined to think that if I was going to grant this, I would want to grant it that kind of stipulation.
I think that the ability to see through it does reduce
the impact
of it being closed.
It would to the look of the neighborhood.
Well, it would take my view from my living room anyways if I ain't.
Right.
And my wife won't let that happen.
No.
So,
Now, one of the things we have to do is there are standards that we have to
meet. Which I understand.
To create any variance. And one of those standards is the question whether the requested area variance is substantial. And when we've traditionally always used 50%, anything more than 50% over, you know, change from the law says is substantial. You can see that. So if you're looking at 8 feet, that's a lot more than 50.
Right. See, you're talking, yeah, I don't know where that line is. I just see it as 22 feet from the road.
And that helps to me. See, I look at that and I think, well, yeah, personally, you know, and I realize that it's a line. I'm having a hard time seeing Terry Road get wider.
I agree. You know, yeah, I know that Terry Road would get wider.
And if it did, as I said, this is totally mobile. And you had to take down my trees and bushes and lights and
Mr. Chairman,
a lot more than that.
I was just curious, when Jim, when you referenced the 30 feet, you mean from edge of pavement was your 30 feet? Or
no, from the property line.
From the property line.
The property line is, as I think they're discussing, is some distance back from the edge of the pavement.
The edge of the road.
So if you knew the rule of thumb, the 10 plus the 8, I mean, you're really talking your 18 across the road, closer to 22 you were talking
about. Right. I'm 22 all of it. I mean, technically, I mean, if you walk by my house and you're at the edge of the pavement where my grass begins, it's about 22 feet from
there. I just want to make sure that when Jim gave the 30 foot, I thought that's what he meant. I'm going to make sure. If it's 30 foot, then we literally are 8 feet off the road.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where that front property line falls.
It might be his line is more than 30 feet.
Correct. Correct.
That more than 30 feet. But I think the key is that from the edge of the blacktop, it's going to be 22 feet. That's important.
If I don't know for sure, then I'm using the worst case scenario, and the worst case scenario would be the 30 foot setback.
So basically, when you pull into my driveway, I can have four vehicles I usually have in my driveway. Mm-hmm. The carport's going to cover up two of the two front ones. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be able to cover all four. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm not going to be all the way to the road. You know
what is the paved length of your driveway from the edge of pavement to the house?
Well,
from the edge of the road.
Four cars.
So yeah,
it's got to be at least 40 feet.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that kind of,
because I have four. Yeah. I mean, my truck's about 20 feet.
Yeah. So that kind of gives us.
So when you park your truck in there, you are able to get another car behind it, or
I have four vehicles in the driveway.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that
because my kids are always there. And then they park behind me when I tell them not to. So then I have to move it.
Then they're done that.
So what we would be giving to the league is it's a 30 foot setback. And he's going to be roughly, we're estimating.
Well, the other stipulation you might consider, Kevin, is also, a dimension from the edge of pavement for the edge of the structure. You know, as
22 feet.
Hmm?
The 22 feet.
Yes.
22 feet in the edge of the bike.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be another stipulation to consider to Matt's point about the practical effect of the road being so far away. That way we make sure it's located.
Yeah.
As far back as it can be.
But see, it's not going to be touching the house because I have a walkway that goes to the back. Since I took my garage away, I had to make a new entrance to out back where the pool is. Mm-hmm. So you have to go around, and it's going to start at the end of the walkway a little bit. So it'll be like from my house, it's going to be about 4 feet, and then it'll start. So
what was written in here was you were looking for relief of 15 feet?
Yeah, that's my guesstimate. I don't know where the line is.
Yeah, I disagree on that. So
I think we need to try to make it as accurate as we can.
Yes.
For many reasons.
Now the easiest thing, because it'll be Matt who will ultimately have to verify this. The easiest thing would be striking a distance from the edge of pavement.
From the edge of pavement.
And that put in relief? I mean, our relief is that he can be 22 feet from the edge of the pavement. I mean, how do we word that?
I mean, my concern with putting an exact footage on it is that we're all kind of guesstimating plus or minus 5 foot. So if we say 22 and he comes out and works out, it's only 21 feet, and Matt looks at it, now he's out of variance, right? So
right.
I feel it's a little tough to put an exact number on without having the dimensions we need. I don't know.
I'm not necessarily opposing it. It is a rather large structure. You know, it's 20 by 20. It's a good size. It's a two-car garage.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not, we're just, you know, it's not just a shed.
Right.
I'm a little concerned. I do really need that setback. It's hard to, how do we sit here without having that survey and put up our number 21 feet? Not knowing
if
that 4-foot gap you're talking about, you've got some leeway, we don't have the hard dimension of your driveway.
Well, if we did those a number in there, that would have to be something, yes. I mean, he'd have to try to make it work that way. But, you know, he couldn't move it further closer to the road. I mean, that's really what that would accomplish.
I'm wondering if it doesn't make sense for you to perhaps go back, get a tape measure on and get the hard distance so we know exactly what we're looking at,
well,
lay it out. And if we actually know, we can give you the information. We got a sketch here, but...
Well, from the edge of the road, like I said...
It's 22 feet.
You know that.
He's measured that. He doesn't... He's not his private survey, so he doesn't know where the line is.
I don't know where the line is.
See, I'm asking to measure the physical driveway. That he can't measure. You know, that was
here. I look down the street. Want me to run now?
He measured where you're saying that 22 feet is...
It's about where it's going to start. Right, I measured right from the edge of the road.
The other
where,
factor,
where my grass starts and my bushes.
The other factor to remember is the overhang. We always go from the edge of the overhang.
Right.
What are the overhangs on
the
overhang?
The overhang is only 6 inches on each side.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. Probably is an overhang.
On the gable side, yeah.
The overhang's around the...
Yeah, oh, you might be right.
You might be able to tell in that picture.
I might be able to tell in the picture. I didn't think about that. And I do like...
Well, you might consider 20 feet then or something like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking rather than...
Give a little bit of...
Yeah. Well, 20 foot, I don't...
You don't want you to put it at 20 foot.
We're saying 20 foot.
If we give you that, then...
Oh, okay. I got you. I think you're 6... I think...
It's 6 inches
on the... I think it's 6 inches in the front, 6 inches in the back. I'm pretty sure. And I do have a total of the building and the manufacturer gave me all the drawings and stuff. There isn't much of an overhang.
But that overhang is part.
But that was the...
But the overhang is part, correct.
And it's part of this board of production.
So, I mean, as long as we were able to put the stipulation that it couldn't be ever closed in so that you could see through it.
I mean, could we do, if we did 20 feet from the road, it should give me plenty of room to make sure that it fits in there without...
But I'm not sure that, because we're going to need to have the word in there of relief, right? I mean, if we're given 22 feet of relief, we're going to have that word. I think we can say it can be no closer than 20 feet from the edge of the road.
From the edge of the road.
And then we're giving 22 feet of
relief. Well, maybe something to the effect of equating to approximately...
22 feet of relief.
Correct.
Yeah, I think I could, and that the building cannot be ever closed in.
Right, and I don't care about that. I don't think it's closed in.
But I think that's important for us because I do understand, you know, I try to explain it this way. The town sets the rules, and they do it for a reason. We're breaking the rules when we do this. We're asking us to, well, amend them.
Well, I didn't want to break the rules, so that's why I'm here.
Right, breaking the rules would be done in advance. But if we're amending the rules, I mean, we have to be very careful.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. That would give a whole different character to this if that were a four-sided building.
If that was a four-sided building, I wouldn't even consider it. I wouldn't even consider it because that's going to be too close to the road. It's going to look...
I keep very well of my property and my house.
As Kevin indicated, you're not the concern. It's the next owner.
Gotcha.
That's it.
Well, hopefully it doesn't get you for a while.
But that's the thing that happens. If we make a ruling like this,
right,
and you allow that, your intentions are good, but it's the next person's intentions.
So, yeah. So then it can't be closed in. That's...
I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, and it's just that we're not breaking the rules. We have rules to
follow. No, I understand.
I thought to strike that amendment. We amend the rules.
just for the record, I'm just going to go through the conditions that we have to meet to give this variance. And the first is that an undesirable change will Whether or not this application will be produced in the character of the neighborhood as means of nearby properties will be created by the granting of the area variance, and I don't think it would have been fine. If anybody disagrees with me, please speak up. The next is whether the benefit shall of the applicant can be achieved by some method feasible for the applicant to pursue other than the area variance we discussed pre-orienting and discussed doing on another side of the house, and that's not feasible.
Right.
Okay. The next is whether the requested area variance is substantial. This is a substantial variance, and there's no way around that. And that's okay. You know, it doesn't mean that we can't do it. It just means we have to think about it. Okay. The next is whether the proposed variance will have an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district. And I don't think so. I think it would fit in.
Yeah, let it be the same color as the house.
And, you know, and I, to me, what's helpful is that knowing that it's 22 feet from the blacktop, even though it may be from the line.
Yeah, I don't even know where that line is.
Most people don't.
It's amazing people don't know the property line.
I don't. And
the road's not in the middle of the line necessarily. The road doesn't necessarily get put in the middle of the
road.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to put a four-lane highway.
Yeah, but they put a road in, though. A lot of times, like here, it might have 4 foot to your line after the road, and then a little bit further down, it might be 8 feet.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, they don't put the road right in the
middle. You go in the middle of the town's property.
No.
It's funny how they do.
So next, the last is whether the alleged difficulty of self-created consideration shall be relevant to the decision board, but not necessarily precluded. And I don't think this was self-created anyways. Those are the rules we have to But we also have to weigh the benefits of the applicant versus the detriment to the community. And I don't really see a big detriment to the community.
You said it was a match color, a match color house.
I'm going to do brown with brown trim, and actually the pulse for the color that is. Just that little teeny game on, which is the beige. And that's the color of my house.
If you had a blue house and you had a beige, you're right. I mean, look.
No. Look, I'm a paint contractor. If I don't color for me, I'm in trouble.
Okay, so. But anyways, there's no need for a seeker on this.
Correct.
So, I think we're done with our discussion. Can we get a motion?
Well, we can try.
We've done most of it already.
Let's just want to make it right. We've discussed it so much. In the appeal number 810 for a relief for a, what would you call it? It's a cardboard?
Yes.
A cardboard.
Open air carport with no walls. I would specify to that.
I would make a motion that we grant relief that he would be no more than 20 feet from the side of the road, which we believe.
No closer than.
No closer than 20 feet.
So I can't go, I don't want to go over my neighbor.
Yeah. And to the end of the pavement. Oh, the current pavement? Okay. All right, so the current pavement is a repaver, which is a good point, yeah. That we believe will be about 22 feet relief from the line. Is that what you were thinking?
So you're gonna say I can't be closer than 20.
20, from.
And I'm going to make sure that it doesn't make sure it stays back.
I would like you to give it back as much as you can.
Right, and that's what I'll do.
But I'm adding that we believe we're giving it roughly 22 feet of relief, because you need to have that, because that's going to be on the record that we're allowing you to be close to the line.
Yeah.
With the stipulation that this building can never be closed in, that it has to remain open carefully.
I'll second his motion.
Who said that? Mr. Elms?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
nervous anymore. I was nervous when I first came in here.
Well, we're glad you're not nervous. We don't want to make you nervous.
No, I just wanted to do it the right way. That's all.
And that's a good thing. We appreciate that as a neighbor.
It's in state law.
Yeah, it is. No matter what,
I'm not necessarily mad with
myself. And I don't want to have to show
them so much.
I don't want to. I do that all the time. It's not fun.
No, you should go.
And then so what's my next?
So now you can get the building permit.
She also cites.
Okay, so building permit.
267B town law. That's where you want to go. There's a website that has that in it.
Okay.
I can send you a link.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to be able to come in now and get his building permit.
Yes, yes. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Well, Matt's got a look. Did Matt look at it yet?
No.
Okay, I would give
it. I mean, I talked to him about it.
Yeah, I would give it till the middle of next week.
Okay.
To be, I have actually issued.
Okay.
All right, but you're free and clear of the zoning.
Right. So what are you saying? Next week, come in for the building permit.
Yes. Yeah. Have you applied for it yet? Formally? No.
No. Oh, no. And I have all the. I don't know what I need.
Oh no. Then submit the building permit tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep. And it'll take about a week to get it, Matt, to review it and all that, because he has a lot to review. He has inspections to do. So.
Right.
It takes about several days for.
So then I should print out those schematics they sent me.
Yes. Yep, they'll need all that. Yep.
Okay.
And it's I think it's a $50 fee for the.
Oh, that's not included in the fee for here?
No.
You sure?
Don't you
vote
dare
on that?
Don't you dare complain. If you just did this in the town of Colony, you would have spent about $500.
Oh, yeah. I don't know there.
We're still pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
We're the best bargain in the region. So.
Oh, that's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So submit your building permit application tomorrow.
I will. How late can be here?
Kathy can.
Or I can just do it with Kathy.
Yes, Kathy takes him in.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll ask her.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Jeff. Any other problem with the 24th of October?
Thank you, sir. I can't believe it. It seems like yesterday. Doesn't it?
Well, we're supposed to write it.
Hey, Kevin, did you see the results of the Saratoga auction?
No, I haven't seen them.
You ought to go online. You got the pricing on there, what the vehicles actually
are.
Oh, I tell you, there were some bargains.
I had a feeling there might be. I bet they won't have one next year. Well, because they had a lot of them were no reserve. When you go no reserve.
Yeah, I know.
I had a friend of mine last year that sold a, what the hell is it, Pierce, down there. He had $40,000 in the car. He wanted to get $45,000. He had a reserve on it. And they got, you know, that's what they do. They put like two or three guys on there saying, take, you know, we got it this for, take reserve on it, we'll get more. And he ended up selling for $20,000. The guy that bought it for him for $20,000 loaded it on a trailer and took it to his place, did a little bit of detail into it, and sold it for $45,000.
Oh,
wow. So, I mean, that auction.
There was a sweet little 47 Chevy pickup truck on there for, went for $17,000.
Oh.
All original.
I know you can believe I didn't go. It was Friday and Saturday. I went down to the truck show Saturday morning, and I thought, I drove right by it. What was going on? I thought about pulling in there, and I said, oh, good Lord, don't do it. You'll buy something.
Okay, I'm going to adjourn.
Yes, I'll say.